It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's December 15th and 16th, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to my running friends. There was a great turnout for the Santa Shuffle in Manchester. A lot of fun for that 3-miler. And last week, we also had on December 9th, You'll Light Up the Night, which started at 4:30 at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And we also had the second of the Jingle Bell races for arthritis, which was in Portsmouth. If you're listening to this on the 15th and 16th, there is time to do the Jingle Bell Run in Runlet in Concord, and that'll start at 9:30 December 16th. So hopefully you can join me for that, because arthritis, believe it or not, afflicts more youth than juvenile diabetes, and there's a big, huge impact on the adult population in New Hampshire. About 300,000 people, adults in New Hampshire, are affected by various forms of doctor-diagnosed arthritis. So again, that's at Runlet, 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, December 16th. I want to give a big shout-out to my colleagues at Strawberry Bank, Stephanie Secord, and the character Lizzie Sullivan. They were on the show last week talking about Christmas at Strawberry Bank. And if you haven't visited Strawberry Bank in Portsmouth, I urge you to do so. And their website is strawberrybank.org. Berry with one R, bank with an E at the end. But today's show is on oral health. And with me is a frequent guest, Dr. Richard Berryman, who's one of the great renowned dental consultants at Northeast Delta Dental, but has had a great career in dentistry in the Concord area, and of course also has headed up the Rotary for many years. And Richard and I were kidding before the show started about that this is quite an appropriate topic, oral health for the elderly, looking at us two here. So in any event, welcome, Richard. Thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy.
Always good to be with you, Tom.
And really, you're a great colleague, and I'm really fortunate that at Northeast Delta Dental to have such great colleagues. And we've had other Richard's colleagues on the past. We've had Dr. Mitch Garay, we've had Dr. Shannon Mills, just to name two. So this is since New Hampshire is one of the, in terms of average age or median age, it's one of the oldest states in the country, and there's only 1.2 or 3 million of us, so it is very relevant. So what is the most common oral health problem for people that are more seasoned than the youth? Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah. Well, I think there's good news in that people are living longer and they're keeping their teeth. And that's mainly due to advances in dental knowledge and care and access to care, like dental benefit programs. The bad news is that they're at a higher risk for dental problems, mainly because, and I think that's what we need to talk about today, dry mouth, or what scientists call xerostomia. Because dry mouth, obviously the tooth decay is caused by acid-producing bacteria, and if your mouth has normal amount of saliva, which is about 3 pints a day, then those acids are diluted by the saliva. But if your mouth is dry, as 30% of the population suffers from dry mouth, especially the elderly population, those acids are more concentrated. And since most of we older generation have a lot of fillings in our mouth, we're more susceptible to recurrent decay around those fillings, as well as our gums have started to recede, exposing the roots of our teeth, which are a lot more susceptible to tooth decay.
Hence the term long in the tooth, right?
Correct.
So is dry mouth exacerbated by all the medications everybody's taking now?
Yeah, I think they're natural. As we get older, our saliva glands, like everything else in our bodies, don't work as well. There are natural causes. Diabetes can cause problems. There's something called Sjögren's syndrome, which is not an autoimmune disease, which affects all of the moisture-producing glands like saliva and tear glands and stuff like that. mouth breathing, sleep apnea problems can cause dry mouth. But the major, you're right, the major cause of dry mouth or xerostomia is the side effects of medications. There's probably 700 different medications that have a side effect of adversely affecting your saliva glands.
Well, without going through all 700, which I know, knowing your photographic memory, you could, why don't you give us the categories such as, you know, blood pressure meds, et cetera?
Yeah, the most common, of course, is hypertensive. A lot of people are taking blood pressure medications, antidepressants, tranquilizers, diuretics, which can be for high blood pressure, also what people call water pills, antihistamines, corticosteroids. And then, of course, if you are unfortunate enough to have to receive radiation therapy for head and neck problems, cancers, that can kill off, the radiation can kill off the saliva glands, and you have a real problem with that.
So you were a dentist in the Concord area for many years and still work out of Concord Hospital. So you must have seen patients, you know, you might have had a patient for literally 40 years. And so would you describe, for the kind of switching gears slightly, but the progression of oral health as you go from youth to older, in other words, a three surface filling becomes a crown that eventually maybe becomes a root canal and an implant, et cetera. Why don't you describe kind of that progression and why it's so important to take care of your teeth as a young adult? Because it, for lack of a better term, it only gets worse, right?
It only gets worse. And I think that goes back to what I opened with about the advances in dental care and dental science. My grandparents had upper and lower dentures. They lost all their teeth. My parents had partial dentures, and today we have root canals and crowns. And if we happen to lose teeth, we now can have dental implants, which essentially act like a real tooth instead of a denture. So, I think you and I talked a couple of shows ago about the causes of dental disease, mainly being the bacteria that grow in the plaque, and there's bacteria that produce acids that cause tooth decay, eat away your teeth. There's also bacteria that cause, periodontal disease. And so it's, younger people need to realize that they're not going to stay young forever, and they need to take care of themselves, not only their mouth, but the rest of their body also.
So getting back, thank you, that was very well said. So getting back now to the dry mouth, what are some of the treatments for this, both in terms of what the dentist might do and as well as what you can do on your own?
Right. Well, if you do suffer from dry mouth, number one, you need to realize that you are, and a lot of people do. And there are things that they do that are harmful to them. For example, if my mouth is dry, I might grab a piece of hard candy and suck on that for the day. But does that hard candy have sugar in it that feeds those bacteria so that they make more acid? So you can sip on water. You can sip on ice chips during the day. People will wake up in the morning with a very dry mouth. And oftentimes they'll wake up during the night and they have a glass of water by the side of their bed. And another thing you and I talked about in the past was that water is not always neutral in that pH. There are some bottled waters that are quite acidic. And so if you're going to have a glass of water by the side of your bed, it might be nice to put a little pinch of baking soda in there just to make it more alkaline and neutralize the acids. There are saliva substitutes. You can go to the drugstore or the many stores now, and you can buy saliva substitutes, which will keep your mouth moistened for several hours. Best to use sugarless candy and lozenges. Avoid alcohol containing mouthwashes because alcohol can dry your mouth more than wet it. And then there are commercial products, Biotene being the most common. They have a mouthwash, they have a toothpaste, they have a moisturizing gel. And that's what you can do on your own. And then if you are suffering from problems and you go to your dentist has additional preventative. They can apply fluoride varnishes to your exposed roots. They can put more frequent fluoride treatments to make your surfaces of your teeth more resistant to the acids. And you might need to go to the dentist four times a year instead of twice a year.
And with our health through oral wellness program, if you are a Delta Dental subscriber, you certainly have that opportunity based on your provisor score. So after the commercial break, I'm going to segue a little bit into how that program works. And I also would like Dr. Berryman to kind of describe his role as a chief dental consultant at Northeast Delta Dental and what his role as a dentist for an insurance company. I think you'll be surprised to learn that it's not about, you know, trying to cut costs so the insurance company makes more money. In fact, you know, just the opposite. And then I'd like Richard also to comment on how he sees the future of dentistry. So, Richard, if you're okay with that, we'll stay tuned after commercial break.
Perfect.
All right. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, this December 15th and 16th. And again, for my running friends, if you're listening to this either on the 15th or 16th, there is time to do the Runlet Road Race for Arthritis, Jingle Bell Arthritis. And that starts at 9:30 at Runlet right here in Concord. And that's Sunday, December 16th. This year, there will also be a kids race, you know, at 9 a.m. And it's a statistic that people are stunned when I say at the beginning of the race that 300,000 adults in New Hampshire are afflicted by one form or another of a doctor-diagnosed arthritis, and that a couple thousand children are also afflicted by juvenile arthritis, and actually more children are afflicted by juvenile arthritis and juvenile diabetes. So for my running friends, please get out there. And based on the excitement from last week's show, from the two folks that we had from Strawberry Bank, I'm hoping that people will take a drive down to Portsmouth and see one of the more hidden gems that we have in New Hampshire, Strawberry Bank. And if you want more information on Strawberry Bank, it's strawberrybank.org, Berry with one R, Bank with an E. So with Dr. Berryman here with me this weekend, we're going to segue into how he sees the future of dentistry and also his role as a chief dental consultant at an insurance company. But let's just kind of close on oral health for the elderly. Why don't you, in a thumbnail sketch, give any final advice for the more seasoned crowd out there if they're dealing with dry mouth and a few other things?
Yeah, well, if you realize or you think you have dry mouth, and or if your dentist or your dental hygienist tells you that you seem to, just remember that you're significantly more at risk for certain dental problems. So there's a lot that can be done both in the dental office and at home. So listen and take care of yourself.
And, of course, see your dentist. There we go. So you are talking about the fact that some of us, you briefly mentioned, some of us may need to go to the dentist more than twice a year, four times a year. So people that have been listening to the show, and we actually have a pretty good following, know that Northeast Delta Dental has this program called Health Rural Wellness, sometimes known as HOW, and it's powered by a software called Previsor. And effectively, if you're a Delta Dental subscriber, you go in, and as the hygienist is doing the cleaning, or right before she does the cleaning, she'll go through a series of questions. And then depending on your score, so my score, I'm not violating HIPAA here, my score is 3. So anything 3, 4, or 5, you're entitled to additional enhanced benefits, which could mean a third or fourth cleaning a year, as well as adult fluoride varnish. So, Richard, in terms of, you know, your experience in all of this, and then we'll get into the being a dental consultant, why do you think this is transformative? I mean, we all know that going to the dentist twice a year was based on, you know, print ads and radio ads suggesting, you know, that you go to see your dentist, you know, twice a year and things like that, which is a good benchmark, a good proxy. But some of us actually may need to go 3 or 4 times a year, plus have, you know, things like a Del fluoride varnish. So you think that this is going to really, really take hold as more and more knowledge gets out there in terms of evidence-based dentistry?
Yeah, I think, like you said, go to see your dentist twice a year was based on a toothpaste ad back in the 30s, and that kind of became the standard. And I think it became the standard when dental benefit companies, first started up too. I think what's really great about today is that dentists and dental offices and hygienists are treating people by their risk assessment. Not everybody's the same. from a genetic standpoint, from a how well you take care of your mouth standpoint, how dietary standpoint. And so if you have your risk score done for tooth decay and gum disease, that's going to enable your dental office to treat you appropriately. And the HAL program, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it started at Northeast Delta Dental and is hopefully spreading across the country to other other dental benefit companies. It's like, as I said, not everybody's the same. And so get the treatment that you need, and we'll all be better off.
Awesome. And again, for my listening audience, 99% of our employers who have Delta Dental coverage have the HAL program. There's very rare exceptions. Our individual product, some of you have bought that through DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, also has the HAL program. The only segment that's limited at this point is if you've gotten your dental benefit through the public exchange, Healthia.gov, it does not have the HAL program. But essentially, we are trying to nationalize it. We have sold the concept to several Delta companies across the country. And while it's been transformative in northern New England, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, we're trying to also get it to take hold in other parts of the country. So we have a pilot in California, et cetera. So thank you, Richard, for explaining that so well. So you're a dental consultant. You practiced for many years. You now, in effect, work for an insurance company. So please explain to the world what you're doing, and you're trying to do the right thing, really, honestly, for the benefit of the patients, the subscribers. We're not looking at this as a money thing. So why don't you talk about your typical day at Delta?
Well, I like the idea that Delta has their triangles. They have the patient side, which is the base, and then they have the Northeast Delta or the dental benefit company side, and then they have the provider side, the dentist side. And we try and balance those three. So what was interesting for me when I first started this dental consultant position 10 years ago is learning that there are processing policies to dental care by the benefit company that don't always align themselves with maybe something that the dentist feels they want to do. And so that's what we're here for. We feel our processing policies are very fair. We adjudicate. We sit there and look at claims. We don't look at all of them, obviously, because there are thousands that come in every day. But we look at a small percentage, and we look at them for two reasons. One, for financial benefits. In other words, larger cost claims are seen more often than, for example, we don't look at cleanings. We don't look at recall exams or any exams, pretty much. We look at the larger financial claims. And then we look at those claims that we have computer programs that kind of identify providers who may be outside of the norm in what they're doing. So those are the two categories that we look at, and we try to adjudicate them by our dental knowledge, which is, I think, very important, because I know there are benefit companies out there that have either very low-trained or non-professional people reviewing claims. All of our claims are reviewed by dentists, and so we have a little bit more empathy, probably, for both the patients and the provider.
Rich, I love how you explained everything there. First, the Delta Dental Triangle, which I always try to explain when I'm out making talks in the community. It is balancing fairly the interests of the dental community, the patients that go to the dentist, and the employer, the third leg of the triangle, or purchaser that actually pay for all this. So that's what people don't realize. It's the insurance company isn't paying for the dental benefits. We take the money from the employer. We administer it fairly and have contracts with the dentist. So I think you explained that really well. The other thing is, I like the word empathy. Unlike maybe other carriers, when I go down and visit with you guys, we have a plethora of dental consultants on site, and we have each specialty covered, correct?
Just about. We have a periodontist. We have two oral surgeons that share the job. And we have one prosthodontist now. So, and the rest are general practitioners with a lot of experience. Most of us, with the exception of two, we're all retired, and we probably have anywhere from 35 to 45 years of experience doing dentistry.
Exactly. And many of them are what we call AADC, American Academy of Dental Consultants, certified. So they not only have been and some are still practicing dentists, they've been leaders in their field and dental society and other organizations, plus they get their AADC certification. So thank you for explaining that so nicely. And it really, the groups, the employers that are that actually pay for the dental benefits have an expectation that we are looking after, you know, their employees that go to the dentist. And as Richard said, we literally process well over a million claims a year. So it's actually a small percentage of claims, you know, that are actually looked at, and it's based on a computer system, you know, called Pronto. And it's a great approach we have on the first floor at One Delta. So thank you, Richard, for that. Let me put your visionary hat on and talk about, I mean, it's been a great profession for you. When I talk to dentists now, I mean, things have changed a little bit from an economic perspective, but most dentists that I know, particularly in our three states, are happy and pretty autonomous still, and it's still a great profession. How do you see it going forward?
I like the word autonomous that you use, because that's becoming less common. You know, up until probably 15, 20 years ago, 95% or more of the dental practices were either solo practices or small group practices. And from an economic standpoint, that has changed significantly in the last 20 years. I can remember being on the Council on Dental Practice for the American Dental Association. And at one of our meetings, they asked the question, what's dentistry going to look like in 25 years? And when there were 17 of us, and when they got to me, I said, franchise dentistry. And so that is becoming, when you see the great growth in these franchises, it's interesting. They are, maybe it's more economic to provide care that way. We don't always see that with our claims, I will have to admit. But dentistry's changing. Hopefully, with, you know, 50 plus years now of fluoridated water and better oral hygiene practices, and hopefully better diets for people, although the soft drinks are still killing teeth every day. Our younger people aren't suffering from the same diseases, or at least the amount of diseases that we did. My mouth's full of fillings, but at least I have my teeth.
There you go. I always like to say that, because I use that line too. I say, well, none of my four kids have any fillings, and there you go. And it still is a great profession. This will have to be a topic for a separate show. Obviously, young graduates coming out of Tufts Dental School and other dental schools come out with $200,000 worth of debt
or more,
and so that kind of sometimes segues them into working for, you know, a larger, you know, dental service organization. So, but that's a topic for another day. Richard, Dr. Behrman, thank you for joining me this weekend. You're amazing.
It's my pleasure.
All right.